Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Praise the Lord. Hey, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are the most privileged people on the face of the earth to be able to have a real experience, an encounter with the invisible God who is not intangible. And the uniqueness, the miracle of a supernatural race of people is that through the blood of Jesus, he has sanctified us to become literal habitations of himself by his Spirit. So welcome to church.
Yes, give the worship team a big clap. Bless you guys. Awesome. By the way, little footnote, Richie talked about, you look more awake, Dennis, than usual. Sometimes Dennis has to work all night. He does major key work in the hospital. So when he comes to worship, he has been up all night. So that was some of you who may not know what he does. That's the reason. I just wanted to explain to you. It's so awesome to see each one of you here. And where two or more are gathered in his name, he is here. And he is a God of miracles and signs and wonders. Lift up your hands. Say, Lord, we worship you. We honor you. We bow down before you. You are the King of glory. You are the Lord God Almighty. You are the God of signs and wonders. You are giving us breakthroughs. Hallelujah. We give praise to your name, Jesus. Now give him a big clap offering. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you are able to stand for a moment, and I'm going to read some scriptures. The main thing we are doing this morning, and it's a continuation of what we did Friday night on our watch night service. Remember, those of you here, that this church and this ministry helped trigger a major global prayer movement called the Watch of the Lord. And there are thousands of watches across the world started and triggered by this worship and praise and thanksgiving. This watch, that way we watch and pray specifically. You can get our books on the watch. The angel spoke to us, and we began with major signs and wonders. And we have had considered the most continuous ongoing watch, unbroken for nearly 25 years, blessing Israel, blessing our nation, and blessing the nations. So anyway, what we did Friday night in our watch, I felt like we were to continue because millions of our countrymen are right now going through one of the major historic storms that has ever hit the United States of America. So millions of people have had to evacuate. Millions of people are on the road or hundreds of thousands in shelters right now as the Hurricane Irma is going through South Florida. And so at this very hour, I know personally friends that Bonnie and I do. We pastored for more than 20 years in South Florida. So many of the camera shots that of Miami, Broward County, all of that, we live there and know people living there. And there, many of them are hunkering down. They chose not to evacuate. So we pray that the force of the wind and then the rain, the floods, we need to pray God's supernatural protection over them. And so we are speaking shalom over them. And then this word, apply it to yourself. It is for you, a promise for you, for your children, for all all loved ones, neighbors. So we receive this word personally, take it. It is Psalm 91. We are pleading that psalm over South Florida. We're blessing the people in the Caribbean. And where it comes up, maybe it may come towards South Carolina, in the Charleston area, or it may go toward Georgia. But we are praying God's protection and shielding. So we are united where two or more are gathered in my name. There I am. And we are releasing the power of agreement in prayer, all of us together. And I'm going to read out to you Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. Believe for your children, believe for your home, and we are believing for our fellow countrymen in South Florida. Say after me, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Tell your neighbor, in Him you will trust. Amen. Give the Lord a big clap. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Praise God. You may sit down. I love when we get fresh. These are Holy Ghost stories. They're called testimonies. Yes. And as God does this in our midst, I wanted to share. I'm going to ask Heather to come and share a couple of these things that they are recent things. And one we found, we didn't even know about it till Friday.
One we got this morning. Are the Riveras here? Oh, right over here. Oh, I hugged you earlier. Hello.
Hey.
So they are real people. But Manana Rivera came here probably a month or so ago with autoimmune disease, and doctors were really trying to figure out what was going on, and Pastor Mahesh prayed for her. And while she was praying for her, he was praying for her, he had a word about her son and said, "Your son is going to return." Well, today she is here to testify that they are here with their son. And She is completely restored. No autoimmune disease, no symptoms.
Oh, glory. Glory, glory, glory. So, testimonies, as you see here, I don't know whether the camera can pick that wonderful family up. Bonnie, would you mind bringing them up here so the camera, the people, I just want to, there are many people in the out there on the World Wide Web that I believe there are people that God wants to do amazing miracles, and testimonies are doorways for more miracles. Praise God. It is so good. It is so good. It is so good. Thank you. It is wonderful, honey. Bless you. I saw you in a vision. God was bringing you home, restoring in every area of your life. The Holy Ghost is with us, and Jesus loves you. So here, all of you and the cameras are showing on the World Wide Web. We want to say, here is this family. And you had autoimmune disease?
5 years to live, and then I wouldn't be able to walk or talk or swallow or do anything. And I got a second opinion, and the doctor said, no, you don't. And they did testing on me. They said, there's no proof. You don't have that. You're not going to die in 5 years. You're going to be able to walk. You're going to be able to talk. You're going to be able to tell your story. Grateful. I'm so grateful. Within 2 days, our son was here after he prophesied and said, we never told him about our son, but he knew. And he said, your son will come to you. And he came and we got him, and we're so grateful. We are so grateful. We haven't seen him in over 10 years. He was a little boy.
Wow. Give him a hug. Bon, say welcome. Mama says, you said it, and he is here. Bon, you want to put the mic? Mommy's saying something.
Hey, Mama. Our faith has grown. Coming home to this church. We love coming here. We tell anybody that will listen of what miracles and wonders in this church. I walk around my house singing the songs that you guys sing in here. I love them. I know them by heart. I think different now. Everything is godly conscious, and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. We just got a new house, a 4-bedroom. He had a room waiting on him. We had everything. We spoke it into existence, and he was home. He moved in with us. We still have boxes, and he's home. You can't tell me my God ain't a good God. You can't tell me he's not good. You cannot tell me he's not good. I know he is with us in every way, and anybody that is not from God has automatically been rejected out of our life. We are all we have, but we got God, and we have you guys, so that's all we need.
We are here as your family.
So grateful.
Your extended family. That's what church is.
I'm so grateful.
Amen.
I'm so grateful. That's all I can say. I'm grateful.
Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Give them a big clap. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Hallelujah. Bless you, guys. Wonderful. Bless you. Good to see you.
Come on, girl. Hang on. Do you mind? Do you mind telling?
I was going through a big depression, and I came to the church. They prayed with me. I was going like every day. I was sitting in the dark. I went and go hang out with friends, and today I don't have any depression. I'm not going through no more depression. I'm coming out more. I'm hanging out more. I'm, you know, spending time with my mom more. Me and my mom didn't have no type of relationship. And now we're close. We share more things now.
Amen. Bless you, baby. Amen. Glory to God. I remember laying hands on you and praying for you, honey. So we're going to cast the depression out of you.
You can take it at home for strength. We take it whenever we feel something big coming on or something overwhelming. We give it to God and we take communion together. And you do not know it takes away all the fear. All the fear goes away.
Yes.
And God shows He is there. Hallelujah. Thank Woo! You, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Man, I feel like doing a jig, a Pentecostal jig. Or that's church.
That's church.
Amen.
What more needs to be said?
Amen.
Drop the mic.
Well, hey! We got more.
There's
Say
more.
More. There's more.
There's more. But before I go to the more, I just want to encourage you. This is a testimony for you. This is a testimony for every person in this room right now that's praying for family restoration. We are fasting, we're agreeing, and we are declaring right now your children will return to their borders in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Another one of the big things we're carrying through this fast that Pastor Mahesh said last week and this weekend is on Friday, he mentioned praying for children with autism, children with epilepsy. I don't know the last time we've even mentioned epilepsy from the pulpit. In that meeting, Celia handed us a testimony. She said, "My niece Mackenzie has epilepsy. Mahesh called out children with epilepsy, and I stood in for her. He prayed for me. She's supposed to be in fifth grade, but because of the severity of her epilepsy, it's continual grand mal seizures and other seizures just constantly bombarding her brain. She's only in third grade and had visible brain damage when they did scans and things like that. So they just moved to North Carolina, and that had necessitated a medical change and a doctor change, and they did new scans right after that weekend that Pastor Mahesh had the word of knowledge for epilepsy. Mackenzie had an MRI on her brain on August 2nd. The nurse called up Carrie, the mom, and said, "The MRI is normal." Carrie said, "That couldn't be correct." But the nurse and radiologist confirmed there was no brain damage. There's more. So she described on Friday, like the whole top of her brain had been damaged by the just constant epilepsy. Well, then they scheduled an EEG for the following week. She said they went in for the EEG, and again, she even had seizures that weren't manifesting in her body. They were just so constant, even in her, just the electrical system was so messed up in her brain, it would just be constant. They did an EEG, went in, absolutely perfect. No sign of any abnormal activity in her brain.
These are like New Testament type miracles. Yeah. And let your faith rise up to lay hold of it. That word, this promise, whether it's a son that needs to be or a daughter needs to be restored to the family, or there are so many that are dealing, families we know in the United States are dealing with autism, with some member of their family, and some is caused by epileptic seizures, other activities, and this God is giving this, every testimony like this is a doorway. You want to claim it for your neighbor. If you know and you see people who have needs, the families that have these kind of challenges in their relatives, it drains a lot. And so if you can testify to them and give them hope, it means so much. And bring them here. We will pray for children who are autistic, who have learning disabilities. We have seen so many miracles. And even in this last couple of years, there are instances that these children who have never been diagnosed, non-verbal, for some years, and they come to this church. We lay hands on them. They start speaking immediately. It's like instantly we have seen a turnaround. It's amazing. I'm astounded that God is in the midst of his people. And nothing is impossible with my God. So with this community is loaded with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And may we, I mean, God, I believe is good. There's a spirit of revival. So in that context then, by the way, I want to share one more thing. We are so grateful that as we heard about the devastation in Houston, this is a time, I'm so glad that God showed us to have a corporate fast, and we put this on the calendar before Harvey or anything. I mean, we really felt that this was a season where we need to seek God's face, not just as individuals, but as a corporate church of Jesus Christ. Well, Brother Derek Prince, our great apostle and mentor who taught us, we served him for nearly 24 years alongside him in the ministry. But he said there was no greater powerful weapon that the church has than a corporate fast. An individual, when he fasts and prays, it is awesome. But when you combine several people agreeing together in the fast, it is called the Esther fast. Or there are other times that the church fasted, or that Nehemiah fasted as they went into the wilderness to get restored to Jerusalem. God did amazing miracles. So we are believing for breakthrough for every family here. And these are some of our prayer requests here already that people have written here in the community, and partners and people on the World Wide Web these are some of their prayers. We prayed for them on Friday. We are laying hands on them again, that every promise of God, yes and amen, for every prayer need. We thank you. God's going to do something supernatural. If you have a prayer request, you're watching us on the web, you are here, write down. There are place outside where you can get hold of a piece of paper and write down your prayer request. We are still going to continue to fast. It's a 21-day fast, so we praise the Lord.
Amen. So stretch your hands. We agree together. We harmonize together. Father, we agree together in harmony as touching these requests from all over this nation, all over this city, all over the world. And in the name of Jesus, we say amen.
Amen.
So be it. Lamb of God, stretch forth your scepter and rule and reign in the midst of every one of these circumstances. And on the words of your living testimonies this morning, we pray for deliverance, for recovery, for relationship restoration, for provision for houses and families, for the joy of the Lord and revival through the provision that is in our salvation and the promises in your word. We say, come, Lord Jesus, recreate the face of the lives and circumstance of the bodies and minds of these individuals in the name of Jesus. And the saints said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So we are immediately, when we heard that some of the people we know personally were involved in the relief work that we're going to take immediately for those people down in South Texas who are desperate need, we immediately, from All Nations Church and the ministry, Chowder Ministry, sent thousands of dollars to help bring supplies, bring food, bring water and other resources. So we showed a couple of things last week, but we have some more communication from them. You're seeing some of that we were able to get some hundreds of pounds of more beef and other meat so they could supply them. There were areas that, like a school for juveniles that had not eaten that day, they didn't have food. Our supply was the first things that came that day for them to eat, and lots of other resources that we have been able to put in the hands of these people who are hungry, thirsty, and build back their community. So these are some of our friends who are part of our team that's going and helping in those in the flood area. We got a lot of Houston was the main attention in the media, but
don't mess with Texas.
Rockport,
right there it is.
Rockport, Aransas, all of those areas that we have tried to help. Throw, I want to say, All Nations Church, Chowder Ministries, all our partners, thank you. These are some of the pictures you see of the supplies and the relief work that we are doing right now.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Give the Lord a thank you. And again, thank you for your generosity. It was so wonderful. Bonnie and I are so proud of this community.
Yes, yes, yes. An additional piece of that, by the way, is this week we'll be assisting as they go to reconstruct the business of a man that set aside his building to feed the first responders. And he had been through these connections feeding about 400 first responders every day. And then the damage that had that he had suffered in his business, we're helping to reconstruct. We also sent Sarah, and she is in Houston. She went with some supply gift and has been helping to relocate and refurbish the home of some of our ministry family that is extended in Houston. So,
amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you again. That's your love. Those are your gifts. That's your prayers, it's your influence, it's your ethic that is a foundation that so many people around the world trust in and hope in and turn to and rely on when they come into various kinds of trouble and challenge. So thank you, All Nations Church. You're real Christians. We love you guys. You're amazing.
And so this promise, I really felt as I shared some initial thoughts on Friday night that we were to continue to stay in the promise of Psalm 91 for our nation, for South Florida, for the restoration of the people in Houston and in the surrounding South Texas area, and many of these regions that are going to be are in the process. There's a storm. They have to handle it. And there are 390 shelters, large, like stadium-like structures that all are spread all across Florida. The governor said they're almost all full right now. There are some that have had to turn away. And then I was struck by some of the statements that Governor Rick Scott and then some of the mayors, like Mayor of Key Largo and other places, said, now there is a certain time you got to, by this time, you got to evacuate. Afterwards, our rescue forces will not be available to you. So don't call 911. And something rose up in me. And I said, respectfully, Governor, Mr. Mayor, I want to correct you. I am always, and right now, I'm calling on God's 911. So you have God's 911 that never stops answering. The Lord himself watches over his word to perform it. And God's 911 is, here is Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's your promise, God, that you are in the secret place. Say, I am in the secret place of the Most High. Now I'm abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. And that's verse 1. It's 911. Psalm 91, verse 1. It summarizes the whole of the rest of this psalm. And this psalm is considered possibly it was written by Moses, but it was sung as a song I would encourage you, some of you, to get into some and say it and say it and say it. Say it over your family. Say it over your finances. Say it where you are sheltering. We're saying it for the people in Florida handling, having to handle the storm through Irma who are hunkering down. We are saying this. We are going to abide in it, and we say it and say it until you can sing it. All right? You can get in the spirit and in the vibration with us. This is your song. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I mean, I'm going to make up a song. Say, thank you, Lord. And then it says, and it's key, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. You'll find, by the way, that there is a third person. The first sentence more in the third person. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Then from third person, it goes to first person. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. And then later on, you will see even the second person voice. So there are three, but it's, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, whatever. But there are threefold way of saying these things to the Lord. I will say, and let me ask you right now, and this psalm applies to every family, all of us. Some of us are going through a season of challenge, and in that, if I can humbly, respectfully ask you, what are you saying in the midst of this? What are you saying? Be careful of what you are saying. And release not your reaction. Now, often we get emotional or we get fearful. And from fear we speak. Or from terror sometimes we speak. Or from lack of faith we speak. And God says it is important in the context of where you are in the middle of a challenge, what are we saying and what are you saying? You want to say more. So, Pastor, what shall I say? Well, speak the word of God. I will say, He is my refuge. So in the middle of my challenge, in the middle of your challenge, you're going to declare whatever challenge you're going through, whether it's family situation, which heartbreak, or a challenge in your finances, the enemy's attacking. I want you to say, and I would agree with you, the Lord is your refuge and your fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. So that is what you're saying. God is my fortress, and I'm in Him. Hallelujah. So trusting right now in the Lord, for those going through the hurricane, we trust in the Lord.
Amen. And one of the things that may seem a little hidden until you actually look at it is these first four verses. It's like Pastor said, it's a revelation of Father, the Most High. The Son is actually the I will speaking here. And we know that this becomes personal for us because in salvation in Jesus, Christ has brought us into Him. So He was the first that actually walked this road in the mortal flesh with all the weakness, all the challenge. Jesus had to learn character. He had to learn courage. He had to learn faith and trust. And so we can be drawn in to the Trinitarian assurance and declaration and relationship. And then in verse 4, as well as in verse 1, where it refers to the shadow of the Almighty. And then verse 4, where it says, He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. It's referring to the Holy Spirit. And we see this particular picture, this aspect of our God as, usually we think of Him as Father in a more of what we know in the human way, a masculine role. But in this case, He is like a mother bird hovering over her nest. And that's what mother birds do during storm and trouble. They will literally come and lay their bodies with their wings open over their nest so that any rain or hail or fire, wind, anything that comes against the nest, they will put their lives down first. They will cover as a shadow and put their lives in between the danger and the life of their little one. And we see this image of God carried actually throughout Scripture. It's there in Genesis 1:1, when tohu wabohu, the chaos and the darkness, is on every side. And it says that the Lord came down and hovered. And the Hebrew picture is of a mother eagle literally over her nest with her wings out, preparing and keeping that nest safe. And we see it continued on when Ruth comes out of complete devastation, finds her way into menial service in the field of Boaz. And Boaz says to her, very prophetically, a picture of Christ and the church, those who come to Jesus for salvation. And he says to her, you have come under the shadow, under the wings of the Most High as your refuge. And so we see that continually paired of our Father, like a mother bird, who is our refuge, covering us with his wings. He mentions it again in Psalm 36, in Psalm 57, and then Jesus says it when he weeps over Jerusalem and says, I would be the mother bird with my wings over you. So it's a beautiful reference and picturing of God from start to finish of how he comes. And the beginning of this psalm is to introduce us into peace and assurance, because for the next 12 verses, he's going to enumerate all of the terrible things that could happen and might be happening. So he sets us in the right place, in the nest, under the presence of the Lord, in order to say, look, I mean, Jesus said, tribulation, trouble will come, wars, rumors of wars, storms, earthquakes, all of these things. And might I say, in this church, our theology, we believe it's absolutely scriptural and very sound. Jesus took the judgment. Judgment is coming, but it's coming when he appears. That's what Scripture says throughout Scripture. And there is a common theology that says when bad things happen, when storms arise, it's God judging. Friends, that's bad theology. It is unscriptural. And I know we've heard it from everybody high and low for years, but it's bad theology. So the judgment that should be feared is coming when Christ appears. And that means that now, in this period of amnesty, it's time to preach the gospel. It's time Amen. To tell folks you can come under the shadow of his wings. That's what this is about. And this psalm is particularly directed in that way. But I asked the women in the life group leaders yesterday, I said, how many of you that had a baby considered when you went into labor and were in the pangs of bringing forth that child that you thought that was a judgment from God? Not a single one of them said, oh, I did. I was feeling that way because, you know, I'm a failure here, or I missed that, or I did this. No. And Jesus said, these things are the birth pangs that the earth has begun to contract. Cosmically, the Lord is preparing to come. And because he is Lord, the cosmos is beginning to quiver with his appearing. And the earth has gone into her labor pains because she's going to suddenly reveal him. The sun is on the way.
Amen.
And Amen. So I will say again, these birth pangs are not a judgment. They are the signs. He said, when you see these things, look up, your redemption is very near.
Amen. 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 So in the midst of this, I believe one of the triggering things that God will do is get you into more worship. I would encourage you to get into more worship. I tell you, last Friday, we got into a worship. I'm so grateful for the team we have, and we had a great time, but we got into the spirit of worship, And it'll help you dwell, continue to dwell. It's not just a one-moment thing, but continuously we are going to dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, and He shall deliver us then from the snare of the fowler. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And as Bonnie talked about the wings, and then verse 5, it says, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. As I was watching the Weather Channel, I don't know how many of you were watching. How many did you have kind of fascinated? And I in this kind of thing, I watch Weather Channel. There were a lot of the shots were of situation in Broward County, and that's where Bonnie and I lived for many, many years. And so it looked familiar, but there the storm was coming. And we were, by the way, personally experienced Hurricane Andrew, which was, until this Hurricane Irma, was considered the most powerful storm to ever come on the shorelines of the United States. And one of the first things that happened when the wind reached nearly, I mean, at certain bursts were nearly 200 miles an hour. And even the Weather Channel weather measuring instrument was up there on the top. It blew away in the wind. I said, well, the measurements are not going to be there anymore. But by the way, how many of you saw when the governor was talking, his sign language interpreter? Did you notice? These two were champions. Go back and look on YouTube. You will get entertained. It's my wicked part of me. I'm more interested in the interpreter and the way they talk.
And from time to time, he'll say, you know what she's really saying? And then he'll...
Afterwards, I repent, though, anyway. So. But what we found in Hurricane Andrew, I mean, there are objects, huge, I mean, trees and automobiles that are flying through the air. And even right now, as people are hunkering down, and through the night, the wind was picking up, we are pleading this scripture for all of them, that the Lord is covering them, and they are under His wings. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow, the projectiles that are flying by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. And I got my attention focused quite a bit on that arrow, that there are projectiles that are flow that are try to attack our thought life. In this time, sometimes a personal challenge, you will watch out for the arrows that fly. There will be arrows of fear that try to immobilize you, or arrows of depression, or arrows of loneliness. And it is important that there are certain things you get in the Word, you start speaking the Word, pray, be with other people that are praying. You, of course, get into more of that spirit of worship. And I would encourage you, this as one of the errors that comes is loneliness or separation. Even the little things that I talked Friday night of, even the finest people, things may happen that try to divide you from the deepest friendships and commitments, yeah. And then church relationships, and we see that in the book of Acts, in Acts 14, that even Barnabas and Saul, who are some of the most awesome dynamic team, their little incident separate this dynamic Holy Ghost apostolic team. So watch out for the arrow that flies. Don't let that divide your the husband-wife relationships or church community relationships, and put a helmet on your head that the projectiles will not come. And
we should have a helmet Sunday.
Hey.
Would that be the best? Everybody came to church with a helmet on? Just some kind. All right. I'm putting, how many will volunteer to be brave enough to do that? If I put a helmet Sunday on the calendar, will you wear a helmet to church? I'm talking a real helmet. We've got about six brave people that would wear a helmet. Hallelujah.
I may go to the Army Navy store and get an old
World War helmet. Oh, come on. That would be the best. That would be the best. And when the folks on the internet, you know, get on, they'll be going, what in the world are they doing in that shirt?
The other thing, by the way, I want to point out, again, that governor has been doing a great job.
God bless.
Governor Rick Scott.
Yeah.
Hasn't had any sleep. And again, but I don't want to, and he was telling people, listen, the shelters are full. And there are literally, people don't have, I mean, in the West Coast, the word came a little too late. There are a lot of wonderful people, and some in the senior communities that have not prepared. They don't have plywood, all of that. The Weather Channel was predicting that it's going to be on the Miami and then on the eastern shoreline. Instead, it went west. So the Naples area, and they were really unprepared. They were somewhat disappointed. So the shelters are not ready. And in that, again, I want to tell the governor, listen, there is one shelter. It says in Isaiah 32, I've not heard anyone ever preach on that, but it says that in Isaiah 32:2, that in that time of challenge, it says, and the man shall be as a hiding place or shelter, a man, and that is Christ Jesus, that when know that you can always shelter in the name of the Lord. You are sheltering. That's your primary shelter. And the main hiding place you have is Jesus Christ himself. He is the shelter we have today. The man, Christ Jesus. And know that in whatever you're going through, do not psychologically in your thought patterns, do not allow the devil to make you think you are all alone. God has, above all, besides your friends or the church community, it's the Lord who has promised to you. And right now, for those hunkering down, some said we're going to be watching you.
Yeah.
I want to say to you, the Lord has promised.
Amen, Lord.
I'm with you always.
Thank you,
I'm never going to leave
Thank
you,
you Lord.
Nor forsake you. I am with Matthew 28. I am with you. Always. Say, he is with me.
He is with me.
Always.
Always.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. So, we are as you want to shelter as a believer. I mean, anyone. You may not have ever asked for salvation. Now is a good time to say, Jesus, mm-hmm. you are my Lord mm-hmm. and Savior. I am mm-hmm. running.
Run to the shelter.
You, to the shelter.
Run to the shelter. Take your family and run to the shelter of the Most High God. And Pastor Mahesh, we're to verse 11 there. There's another 9:1:1. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Speaking of the projectiles, you bear on your body the very mark of experiencing this scripture in the worst tornado that Lubbock, Texas ever had experienced in history when you were in college. And that tornado came and you lived, I'm sorry to say, in a little rickety hovel. I heard rumors from your elders when I came to the church about that hovel that you had lived in when you were a graduate student.
Yeah, but they've moved my few belongings to the
but
church.
But you were watching television, sitting on your couch, watching a program called The Eye of the Storm. The night that the worst tornado to ever hit Lubbock, Texas hit.
Worst tornado to ever hit the Southwest United States.
Southwest United States. And this man heard a voice say, get up. And this man said, I'm tired. And the voice said, get up. I'm tired. Suddenly, somebody lifted him up and put him behind the couch. And at that moment, the wind burst through the glass pane on the door, and it turned sideways and flew in literal arrows into the back of the couch where he had been sitting, and it would have decapitated him. And as he was struggling with these angels that literally had carried him behind the couch, his arm went out, and a little piece of glass went across the top of his finger. So he usually says for $500, he'll let you see his scar.
For offering for the Houston repair restoration. It is so, still left here. It's 1970, May 1970.
Yeah.
But the thing that is absolutely impossible to explain, I'm just hearing voices, get up, but that's not the main. There was these invisible power hands, huge, mighty hands that lifted my body up, and my feet were dangling from the, I was hanging in the air. And then this force moved me and plunked me behind the couch, this big, giant old couch, and it protected my body.
You know, we see this scripture quoted in one other place in the Bible. Does anybody remember where it is? Satan quotes it to Jesus in the temptation in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And what's occurring in that moment is Satan is literally perverting scripture and tempting the Lord against this confidence to trust in the Lord, even in times of trouble and testing, to keep on the mission to go through. And what Satan was trying to do is actually lure Jesus away from completing the mission. And this area of Psalm 91 answers the biggest human question, and that's the question of suffering. And if there is one thing that we as pastors in over 40 years of being in the gospel ministry have seen from the human race, is that the one stumbling block for every human being is, if bad things happen, how can God be good? How can God be good if I am suffering or if people are suffering? And the reality is, this scripture is giving us the nature and character of God in the context of suffering. And the answer to suffering is the fact that God himself came and suffered.
Amen.
God himself. Ours is the only religion in the world whose God suffered and whose God had to develop courage, and whose God actually died, and whose God lives again. Ours is the only one. And so the whole context of Psalm 91 is pointing us directly to the reality. And in fact, in verse 13, it deals with demonic forces, cosmic supernatural evil powers, the lion, the adder, the young lion and serpent that come against us. It deals with those kind of things. And the entire psalm is a gospel declaration that for everyone who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have come under the shelter of the wings, and no matter what comes. Romans 8:28, all things will work together. Say together. Yes. Because sometimes we say all things will work for good. And so if something not good happens, we say, oh, what happens? And faith gets shaken and all of it. No, together. Say together. Yes. Together. Our life is a tapestry. Our life is a tapestry. But Jesus has walked this tapestry. And now he stands as the mother bird, the spirit, the Holy Spirit with us to help us to stay on the road. Look at your neighbor and say, stay on the road.
Stay on the road.
Stay on the road. And any stumbling block, look at your neighbor, say, anything that would make you stub your toe, the Lord is with you.
The Lord is with you.
Stay on the path. If you've stumbled and fallen down, get up. Say, get up.
Get up.
Say, get up.
Get up.
Awesome.
And this is the generous heart of God. Look at all the promises here. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to shelter you. I'll provide for you. I mean, my angels will protect you. There is, though, I just want to point out to you, there is one condition for this Psalm 91 that I want to point in verse 9. This is the condition. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. So the condition is that you choose the Lord. He is your refuge, and we are saying today, Lord, you are our dwelling place. All right? Say, Lord, you are our dwelling place. No evil can befall me, my children, my church, my country. So we rebuke Irma. Every harm.
Yes. Coincidentally, we didn't plan it this way. We frankly didn't even realize until we were in the middle of it that our 21-day fast is in the period of Elul leading up to the Feast of Tabernacles. And we know that in John's Gospel, John 1 speaks of Jesus coming out of heaven into earth to tabernacle, make his temporary tent in mortal flesh with all the weaknesses of human failure, to tabernacle, to dwell with us. And this is referring ultimately to God being our tabernacle, into whom eventually, ultimately, we will run and dwell. We see the city of God both in Hebrews, a glance of the reality now of that other dimension, and of course in John's revelation of the city of God that we've been made citizens of, that we're coming into. And as we're going through these 3 weeks of fasting, it's also the Jewish holiday set, the time set aside, preparing for the Feast of Tabernacles, the great indwelling that will ultimately come in the covenant we have with the living God. So we should be just, it should feel like Christmas. Dwelling place.
Dwelling place.
Tabernacle.
Amen.
Say tabernacle. Amen. Yeah.
And some, I just want to say for some that does, you have gone through personally some challenges and you're wondering, well, Lord, where are you? I want to give you another scripture in Romans 8:28. God is doing a turnaround for you, for your family, as we heard from this wonderful family this morning. That Romans 8:28 says, all things are working together for your good. So even some of these little burps that you may have had, God is working that together for your good. And the part B, by the way, of that condition, verse 9 and then verse 14 is part B of that condition. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. It doesn't hurt. Like you need to tell your wife or your children, I love you. Above all, you want to tell the Lord, Lord, we love you. Because he has set his love upon me, the Lord saying, therefore, I will deliver him. Say, Lord,
we love you.
We love you. And I mean, I'm not forcing that. I mean, Jesus is the one who has taken your sins. He has taken all the evil. He took the judgment.
Thank you, Lord.
Therefore, you can have mercy and grace. So I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Give him a big clap.
Yes. Mahesh, this portion of Scripture is very precious to me because I remember years and years and years ago, we were in Korea, we were doing a mission there, and an unusual event occurred in our hotel room during the night. They had a literal wall of mirror, and it was a new construction, and somehow they hadn't secured it very well, and in the middle of the night, the entire wall suddenly crashed down, suddenly fell down. And when I woke up to that, strangely enough, I heard the words of this Psalm 91, 14, 15, and 16 for our son Ben. And I wrote it down, I wrote it in his Bible, and I remind him of it regularly. And in fact, I just reminded him again last week. But what you find here is you find God making seven oaths where he says, I will do this. I will do this. And it's so beautiful. He says, I will deliver, I will protect, I will answer, I will be with him, I will rescue and honor him and satisfy him with long life and show him my salvation.
That's beautiful.
It's awesome. That's a complete promise of God and a revelation of the eternal covenant that we have and the absolute assurance, therefore, that when trouble comes, we know we're going to hold fast to the Lord in love, and he's going to deliver and protect and rescue and show himself to us. And ultimately,
amen,
we will enter the eternal dwelling place as citizens of the city of God.
We want to receive this all personally, okay? So this is for me. Personalize it. And amen? Yeah. And say to your neighbor, he's answering you.
He's answering.
Turn to your other neighbor. He is with you.
He's with you.
Other neighbor, he is delivering you.
He's honoring you.
With long life.
He will satisfy you.
He's showing his salvation to you.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.